Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get Shungite to the masses. You are entering the Shungite Zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Welcome to Shungite Reality Show. It's June 24, 2025. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Derek Condit, Mark Joseph, and Levi, who is a guest and a friend of Derek's, but also a supporter of Shungite and Shungite Hive. So we're going to have an interesting conversation today. And I'm just going to turn it over to, well, first off, hi, Mark. How you doing?
Doing great, everybody.
Okay. And Derek, you want to say hi and introduce Levi to us?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. So happy to be here and really happy to have Levi here with us. So welcome, Levi. And I was going to refer to you as your first name, you know, unless you wanted to release more. But yeah, we're going to kind of go all over the place, all sorts of topics on this one, but focusing on, like we typically do, well, energy, Shungite, and Shungite beehives. So welcome. Thanks for being here, Levi.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for this opportunity to support these bees. You know, I've come to realize that God really works through subcontractors, and some subcontractors are better than others, and the bees are definitely one of the good ones.
That's a great way of putting it. Yeah. Yeah. And they're hardworking subcontractors too. And that's why, oh, well, and so for those that don't know, Levi is one of the sponsors of a couple of the 2025 Shungite beehives. So, and kind of behind the scenes, so I'm going to kind of hit the floor running here, I guess. Behind the scenes, he's been doing some additional, research studies, different things on his own using Scalar. So actually what I want to do, Levi, is if you can just tell me, let me pause for a minute, because I should fill everybody in that maybe this is their first encounter of what we're talking about. So we have some Shungite beehives here in my location in Washington State. And so they're remote from, and we'll stay vague, Levi's in another state somewhere, and it doesn't matter where. So it's a remote location. And of course, we've talked about this before, how distance doesn't really matter. It's not a thing when we're talking energies like this. So he's been doing different experiments. And again, that's what he'll get into in a moment, from his location, to affect the beehives on this location. So do you want to actually maybe explain a little more of what you're doing? Because I was going to kind of leave it up to you, Levi.
Well, it kind of started with Derek, and he started doing these scalar things. And I was really curious about it because I'm an electrical engineer. And so, you know, I build stuff like that, and really interested in the Tesla technology and the things that he was working on at the end of his life. And I could tell that the things that he was working on wasn't necessarily on the electromagnetic spectrum, that there was definitely more energies there. And I just got really curious about it. So I picked up the same Spooky 2 scalar box that Derek uses for his Friday sessions. And I started experimenting with it and, you know, different frequencies. And I hooked up my own signal generator, working in with different geometries. And I started working with a couple other energy workers, and while they were doing their sessions, I would run the scalar in the background, and all of a sudden they could realize that they had access to more. It's like, well, I usually do, you know, ancestral healing, and I can go back about 7 generations, but when you're running the scalar, oh, I can go back 14. And that was super interesting for me, because right now my perception of the metaphysical is pretty small. Like I can perceive the scalar. I kind of feel it as a pressure that's just right underneath my chin. And I can feel PM EMF fields. But that's pretty much it on that. And so when I work with these other healers and they have different ways of sensing this, it's been really interesting to see what the scaler is actually doing. And I've been kind of working really hard to get in greater contact with my higher self. And so I started using a pendulum and doing body testing. And so when I'm having a hard time without having the feedback to know if the scalar experiments are working in the way that I intend it. And so I will use the pendulum to say, well, what sort of energy needs to go within this healing session? Or what sort of how long should I run it? What frequency should it be? And so that's been my main feedback in how these the experiments will go. And when Derek came up with the Shungite bees, I thought this was a tremendous opportunity to, take part in the experiments on how we can both support the bees and, because the working with nature like this is going to be a huge part of creating the world of abundance that we need to go to. And so this kind of metaphysical research into it was really appealing to me, and so I had to jump in and sponsor a couple hives. And then when Derek said that, oh, well, we're also you can name the hives, and that's when it clicked. It's like, well, with the scalar, I can put names into the scalar, and so why not we put the names of the hives in the scalar? Because we already know that the bees are sensitive to electromagnetic radiation, and so what if we can flip that and have positive energies going into these beehives? And so that's the experiment I'm running on my end, on top of the shungite and other energy methods that are going to these hives.
Struggling with the mute. Did you have a
Yeah,
question, Nancy?
I have a question. You're doing a different frequency on each of the two you have, or are you putting the same one out to both of them?
Well, I'm pulling the same one out to both of them. Originally, I wanted to do one without and one with, but they're both so closely related to me, I don't think I could separate the energy between the two. And so I just threw both of them on there.
Very interesting. Derek, what have you been experiencing with those? Have you seen a, have you observed something that you can report on?
I can. So right now we currently have three hives that are lined up almost exactly the same distance apart from each other, which is, I don't know, maybe 3 foot or something, not real far. And those, we're going to call them one, two, and three hives. And they're not lined up. They're kind of lined up in that order from the right. And I think I've sent Levi photos, so he'll know what I'm talking about. But those two hives, so one and two, let's call his, the ones he sponsored. And those two are doing, I don't, how to put a number on this. And also, before I even answer, do you even want to hear any of this yet, Levi, or not? Because you're still currently doing, studies.
Oh, well, with this sort of experimentation is difficult because you can't really do kind of a blind study on it because it's all intention-based. The scalar is amplifying your intention. And so if you go in with the intention of this is not going to work, then you're just going to amplify that. And so I want this to work. This is my intention, is I want to support the bees. I've got the geometry and I'm experimenting with putting the information into books into the scalar field because the bees are they're kind of integrators where they go out and they take all of these energies from all the different flowers and they bring them all into a single space. And so I wanted to provide them with a plan of this is the energy that I want you to build into these hives. And so I put in the Medical Medium Brain Saver Protocols book, which has hundreds of healing recipes using natural sources. And I want that energy into both into healing the bees and allowing the bees to eliminate toxins from their body, but also put that same energy into the honey that they are creating. And if this works out, it'll be just an absolute fantastic product. And it is so cheap to run the scaler that I don't see why it wouldn't be just massively scalable. And you could do this to every hive in the country, and it would cost you like, 3 cents a day in power to run this.
Yeah, what a great idea as far as the one of the steps being the honey. And I hadn't even thought about that as far as this scalar and your testing and all of that. So that's interesting. It's so well, then I'll tell you. So like you asked Nancy about the beehives right now, so I'll give and we do this every couple few podcasts, updates on the hives. I was out there yesterday, and so I'll go back. So now your hives 1 and 2 are completely calm. Bees aren't even trying to interact with me, and I mean this in a good way, because often when you're what I'll do, and the only checking on the hives I have to do typically, unless something's going on or I'm changing something up or whatever, is just taking the top off, looking down in to whatever's there. I don't remove all the boxes, start opening up the brood ones and the doing all of that, yanking frames out. There's no need for that because I can observe enough from just taking off the top. I can observe enough just from outside without getting in. But up here in Washington State, it's very moist, a lot of weather and rain. So then I do need to check the lids in there. So I think the ceiling to make sure there's not a bunch of moisture or things like that, because then I'll have to do something else. But we're having no issues when I'm over there taking off these tops. The bees absolutely almost ignore me completely. I've yet to even break out the smoker tool whatsoever. So they're doing great, and they're, it's not a, I don't have a, not that anyone asked, but I don't have a number of to give or a percentage. No, I can relative to the third hive, and they're all three shungite beehives. And that one was started, oh, I think maybe 3 weeks later after Levi started. So his two are doing great. They're on their second box right now. So they've got a brood box and another second box on there. They're filling up. And again, I haven't opened up the inner lid because they usually secure that. I don't want to get in too much detail here, but there's a couple lids or tops to the beehives. And one of them is often propolis or secured down, and you don't really want to go breaking that seal all the time. So then they have to put time and energy and effort and propolis into doing that. If you thought something was wrong, maybe. So what I'm getting at is what I do observe is great. Of course, the honeycomb is flawless because I didn't give them any starter honeycomb. I gave them nothing whatsoever. So these bees have made all their own. Shungite honeycomb too. I'm trying to think about what other things I've noticed. Numbers, that's a, they're doing fantastic, but that's a relative thing. So it's hard to say because I don't have other bees, let's say near exactly nearby I can compare them to. And then not, I need to drink water. And then not all hives are to reach a certain percentage by a certain time of year. But in short, they're doing great. Lots of brood, and I can tell that from the abundance of the bees coming and going from the hives relative to that third one, which would, I'd say if I guesstimated, I don't know, 25% more happening at the first two hives, which are the scalar hives, Nancy, Mark, compared to the other one.
But they also were started earlier, correct?
Yeah, and that's just a few weeks though. So now as we're getting further in, that few weeks is a smaller envelope of time to where it's not that big of a deal. So I'm kind of walking around things because none of the hives are doing poorly. All three are doing fantastic. I have no colony collapse disorder, no signs of deformed wing disease. There's I can go on and on. There's lots of diseases and viruses and stuff that could be happening. None of that's happened. Even the cats in the barn, for those that know what I'm talking about, where the hive's located, they're not bothering the beehives. What is an issue are the swallows, because there's a bunch of barn swallows. So they're, and that'll all be changing soon. I'll announce that in the near future. even the Beehive's location. So I'll talk with you. But actually, Levi, of course, as you know from our understandings, it doesn't really matter where they're physically located because that's not what you're focusing on. You're not like pinpointing your scalar to this location in Mount Vernon, Washington. It's the hives itself. So that might be something you need, and I will let you know more, but the beehives, I'm talking about the three Shungite beehives that are sponsored, are going to be relocated here in the relatively near future to a new property for various reasons. Again, we'll get into, but know that so that maybe if that's something you need to know about the testing you're doing.
It's really interesting on how the intention works with the scalar, because like the whole time and space thing is, yeah, science doesn't have a good understanding of what's actually going on there, because I know when I can tell when I do your weekly scalar sessions, I can tell when you turned it on. Like I can feel it, and it doesn't matter where I am. Or you're currently about a 14-hour drive from me, and I can tell instantly when it comes on, and I can tell when you turn it off. And so and so it's got to be working on some other level that's not limited by time or space, and it's all about what goes on, like the more truer sense of what these. It's even with the bees, it's interesting because they're a collective. And so even though each individual bee is an individual, it's also just part of a larger whole. And so it's the bees are both separate and together simultaneously in this weird juxtaposition. And so it's got to be working all on that same level, and it would be really interesting once I figure out how this all works, so I can optimize it.
I know. I wonder if we're actually ever going to figure out how it actually works, but I mean, it's sure fun trying to figure it out, working with the different aspects of it.
And
Mark, yeah, go
at this point, it's just like, oh, I wonder what this button does, and you just press it, and then you
ahead.
just be open to see what happens.
Well, that's exactly how it all started, especially with Nancy in the very beginning, and then all of a sudden I come in as the beekeeper, willing to put this little black rock in front of some bees and see if something happens. And yeah, that's still that video that's out there where the bees responded. And we've been going since then. So it's been interesting.
But I don't think that we make it up. I think we're guided to certain thoughts that come to our heads, because a lot of times there's no pathway as to how did I get here? It just kind of like, if it, explodes in your head and you go, oh, I wonder what happens if I do that. And you just have to be willing to give it a try. Now, granted, I've almost done some things that I could have gotten damaged, but I did not get damaged and I learned a lot. So the scaler and all that, I agree with you. When Derek turns on the scaler, for the most part, I know he's just turned it on. And what I've also find very interesting is that when I sign up for it, I'm signing up for myself and anybody else in my house. Well, I think in terms of my four-leggeds. But one day it was a Friday and he turned it on and I had two friends here. And I suddenly realized that the wife had left and gone someplace else, but I got the husband, Peter. And I realized that Peter was acting like he was stoned. And I'm going like, why is he all the scaler? So even, I didn't say, and Peter, too, but the scalar affects other things other than ourselves, as long as the participant is a willing, and open to it, and that we just sit back and kind of watch it. So it's not, it's got so many properties to it that are very difficult to understand. Derek, do you want to tell people about the Tesla coil and how that was working?
Oh, yeah, I can get a little bit of that. I mean, I have a small Tesla coil. I'm looking around now to see where it is. I was just playing around with it yesterday. I had a little bit of time on my hands in between things. And so I sat it up. What was I doing with it this time? I was actually using it for different reasons, but this particular one has an audio input. So basically I can sync it with the Bluetooth on my phone. So anything that I play on my phone, if I want to talk into my phone, and or play a frequency or a song or something like that through it, is what it was. And then, so you guys can visualize what would happen, of course, a little lightning bolt shooting off it everywhere. And there's no speaker hooked up to this thing, so the only sound would be the cracks and the pops and the frequencies coming through the current, the voltage that's it's being modulated on there. I have a way to turn up the frequency. And this is probably something Levi should be talking about, of course, being an electrical engineer and whatnot. But I turn it on, you see the little lightning bolts going off, and then I put one of the podcasts I was on through it, and you could hear the voices is what Nancy's talking about. So again, I was just playing around. Actually, I was hooking up quartz crystals and things. I didn't even tell you about all that, Nancy. But I have fluorescent tubes. So for those that don't know, you can bring fluorescent tubes or LED lights around a Tesla coil and get it close enough so it touches, and then they're going to light up is what's going to happen there. But in the LED, and it's not quite an LED. It's, oh shoot, what is it? Not a fluorescent tube. It's another type. I'm forgetting the name right now, but it does move the electricity. So I put that between the Tesla coil and some quartz crystals. Because what I did, Nancy, was jumped on AI, ChatGPT, just basically instructed it how I wanted it to think. And there's ways you can do that with the AI platforms. And it said, I've got these ingredients. No, give me some suggestions. So it got into the whole living aspects of crystals, and then the ways to just, interact with them. So that's why I was playing with it all. And I was doing it with wood and different things too. And then remembered that the thing would sync over my phone. So I think it was actually a little segment of the Crow 777 podcast. I think it was Crow and Jason talking about something or other. And I just hit play. I did it on the frequencies too, but it's pretty loud. When the electricity is arcing like that. So it's not, again, it wasn't that interesting. Well, Levi, let me bring it in to you. Have you ever played with a Tesla coil on any level?
I haven't built one yet, but it's on my to-do list. There's a lot of high voltage things that will change properties in ways that I don't think have been fully studied. Because I think it would be really interesting to grow crystals in a like a high differential voltage system, and to see how that high intensity, electric field would affect the crystal growth. And so there's definitely a lot of experimentation I like to do there. It's just, I still have a day job, and I don't have enough extra cash to be throwing at, large transformers and whatnot. And so, but it's definitely on my to-do list.
Yeah, no, I get it. And that you mentioned the growing crystals. I mean, and for listeners, there's lots of ways you can grow crystals, and you can have it happen overnight. I mean, heck, you can make rock candy, and it's gonna crystallize on a little string. But there's better ways. But what I'm thinking now that you mentioned that is growing, and there's various types of crystals, putting the medium, the ingredients for the crystal, in a beehive. And then having it maybe form in there. And I have no idea if that's even been done before. Actually, I'm going to jot that down, call it beehive, shungite beehive crystals, and give it a try. Well, on that subject, have you grown many crystals yourself? And I know there's so many ways of doing it. And crystals is, of course, a vague term, but.
Yeah, I've done the little Nat Geo kits that you get with the kids, and they make the little colored crystals.
Yeah, exactly. And those are good ones to start with. I think probably most people listening have done that form or another. And there's little rainbow ones that have been around for decades. And any of this can be just looked up online. But I'm gonna give that a try. And I like the ones where sometimes, because of course, on some of these grow your own crystals, you don't need heat, you don't need other things. You just maybe need the water evaporating, and then the substrate, of course, adhering to something, and it'll start forming. And depending on what that is, sugar will of course do that and other things. So yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna figure out some way to maybe do that and see if it affects how the crystals form being inside that hive. It
Can I
can.
go? Can I go? Are you finished?
Go ahead.
I want to go back to the concept of the use of high energy to see what crystals do, because they're so magical that you don't have to go to high energy. I was guided to make this device. Excuse me. Now, it's just a copper tube, and it was an inch tube, I think. And inside of that was a powder type of thing that is very similar to shungite. So I'm sure that shungite will be even better. And that was filling this pipe. And the pipe was about 7 inches tall. And I took a copper wire, and I wrapped it around it so that you had a large piece of it at the bottom and a large piece of it and a very large piece of it at the top. Then I took, and I have a buddy of mine that's doing it. I'm kind of saying, let's try this, and I'll do this and do this. And he's kind of doing it. So he's holding the crystal as I'm making this device. And I said to him, okay, I want you to take the crystal, and I want you to hold it against the top part of that copper wire going off. And that's when I used a C battery, and I just put it on the power source. And he's holding on to it, and I said, and I'm this was only for maybe 35, 40 seconds, and I said, let it go, and he let it go, and the dang thing went out about 5 inches away from it on its own propulsion or anti-gravity energy. I never could quite figure out what it was, but that's what I'm saying, that sometimes when we ask the most simple questions to it, you don't need all of that wonderful, science behind it. I'm just pointing it out that I don't get into the high stuff, but I have seen some magical things with just low voltage. Of course, the battery almost exploded because we got so into it. But I mean, it was not a small crystal. It was a quartz point is probably about an inch and a half and didn't weigh much, but we kept getting, a little heavier and a little heavier. And it didn't, well, the battery almost blew up and I had to stop the experiment. But we were going to go even bigger and see what would happen. Just something, point something out. Nope.
No, go ahead. Mark, did you have any questions you want to ask Levi at this point?
Yeah, maybe this goes for you too, Derek. So I do have kind of a biofeedback machine or on my phone, and was looking into getting spooky too in terms of like the limitations. Sorry, hold on. I'm in the store. The limitations I'm seeing with the biofeedback app I have is, so the ideal is I want to be able to send certain frequencies, or like for example, I have a supplement I want to send to a relative halfway across the world. And I want to be able to convert that into a frequency, put it in the scalar machine or app or whatever, and send it to them 24/7. So the limitation I have with the biofeedback app, I can't do that. They have to be like in person or like Skype or something. Am I able to do that if I get a scalar or a Spooky 2, where I could take like a supplement, convert it to a frequency, and then send it over? I mean, the example would be like these people who pass away from turbo cancers from, injections or what have you, just degradation because they don't take care of themselves. And I partially blame myself. Like I could have done some kind of long distance healing thing for these people. Of course, hindsight is always 2020. So in getting a Spooky 2, do they offer that kind of option?
Yeah,
Spooky
basically
does.
like a rider frequency. And yes, you can. I think even Levi mentioned earlier, so there's a thing called a frequency generator you can attach. So the Spooky Twos, a couple of briefcase size boxes with an antenna or a transmitter receiver in each one. And there's more truth than that, but that's just the gist of it. Then you can add on, and well, let's start those first two. There's a little spot on the transmitter where you can put a thing, be it a jar of something or other. I put cosmic silver shungite. So what I'm saying is there's an area within, and again, I know Levi would be much more suited for these terms, but I like to keep it in layman terms anyway, especially for me. So an area where you can add on an overlay. So not just a scalar field, I add the cosmic. You could add whatever supplement, and you don't have to have it in a supplement form. You can have the frequency code to it as well. And those codes, of course, are out there. There's, and even Spooky 2 gives you tens of thousands of the numeric corresponding code to healing, helping this, that, or the other. Lots of stuff in there, and or supplements. So you could do it with that. Levi, do you have anything you want to add into that and or elaborate?
Well, like with the scalar, I find it is it's mainly an amplifier for intention. And so if these people don't want to be healed, they're not going to. And so when I've done scalar experiments with groups of people, and I go through everything I've got, all the crystals I have, all the books that I have, all of the supplements I currently have, and I go, okay, what's going to be needed for this healing? And it can be completely random. I've had books on leadership, I've had books on healing, I've had books on spiritual growth, I've had like up to 12 different kinds of crystals simultaneously, put them in pyramids, put them in buckyball C60 shapes. And it's kind of just what was needed. And what I kind of came to realize is that I am just offering a buffet, and whoever needs whatever energy is, they can choose to align themselves with that, and then their intention will be amplified in that reason. And so it's the intention is the important part. And also, it can be kind of intense for people. I've had like I've tried to increase my tolerance to it, and so I've done like 36 days straight with being in a scalar field, and it can be rather difficult to sleep because it's just so much, extra energy. And so you kind of want to have that feedback with the people that you're working on, that hey, is this too intense? And so with the bees, I've been guided to run the scaler just for 24 hours every other week. And so they need like that week of rest in between to handle things themselves. But then every other week they'll get another boost. But for humans, I've been typically guided to do 3 days.
No, that makes sense. Interesting. And we're I don't even know how far in now. I have to go back in emails. But several weeks into the experiments, the scalar Shanghai beehive experiments that Levi's doing. So yeah, I mean it's and the beehives are again, like I said, are doing fantastic in general, and we'll I hopes that they continue expanding. There's no reason they wouldn't. Again, there it's gonna be quite a feat, but yes, I'm gonna have to literally move these three beehives that are 2 boxes deep now to a new location. So that's gonna be something of a feat. And of course, that's gonna happen at nighttime because that's when the bees are at home. And we can kind of seal up the entrance. So again, we'll do a whole, probably a couple podcasts on that one because Nancy, it was years ago we did a podcast when I had to move. I don't know how many hives it was. You probably remember though, from Gold Bar, Washington, around the mountains to the other side, to Darrington, Washington. So, and that was in the middle of a snowstorm and all that too. So it can be done, especially with shungite ones, and they did just fine. Luckily, I have no snowstorm this time. Did you guys? Well,
Well,
go ahead.
that was an interesting story in that that was at the you had already in 2016 you had a failure. It's sort of, I mean, the bees were they all died through the winter. So when you started up in 2017, those were the bees that, you know, they duplicate. They probably went from the two hives that you started with to 2 million bees. a million went off into the, wilderness, and you were able to recapture so that you ended up with eight hives. When the winter came in and they became less population, this is natural attrition to get through the winter, you were able to put them into, you went originally with five of the things, and then you went in, and that's when they got snowed in. You couldn't get back for 3 days to see what happened. And when you did get back and you opened up the first hive, you discovered that the bees were all dead. So out of the five, or maybe four, but I think it was originally five, you only had two of the hives that actually survived. That when you opened them up, they were alive. Okay. And I remember asking you, okay, where were they? I mean, were they in an area that got more wind and more snow, or were they in the middle where they didn't? Where were they? And it didn't seem to be in your mind anything that would contribute. They were all so close together. So then we discovered that those two beehives were the ones that you had painted with Shungite paint. And my feeling about the situation was that because they were encapsulized in a Shungite environment, the bees are saying, God, it's cold out here and it's, really nasty, and I really wish I could get warm. That intention alone started an energy field sufficient enough for them to survive. That's what I thought happened.
Well,
But
yeah,
I
there
don't.
is now an orgone device in essence, because they've got the layering effect going from, the honey, the brood, the wood, the Shungite paint. You got enough stuff going on there that, yeah, the bee's intention could affect them.
And that's such a, I mean, that's like an example of how we go through life, is that our intentions are creating our reality. And I think one of the pitfalls of human beings is that they don't understand. Look, you just can't go day by day doing this thing you did before. You have to have a feeling of future, a feeling of intention. I would like to see. And some of that's because they're just not taught to be able to think creatively and to think of something different. And a lot of it is just feeling like it can't be done and they don't bother with it or whatever. But it's intention really is a very powerful moving element to the universe, in my opinion. So, yeah. Levi, it's very interesting that you thought to do that with the bees. Have you ever been a beekeeper or been around them, or you just got fascinated with them?
My mom tried to keep some bees last year, and she lost her hives to a bald-faced hornet attack that they
Ooh.
just invaded and wiped everything out. But she had a couple seasons of really good honey, and so I was kind of interested on, well, what can we do to make the bees, because they're just so important, and just in the plants and biodiversity and everything. And this is something that humans can do to actually improve nature is by supporting these bees. And the more we can do for them, the better off we're going to be, collectively, for sure.
Yeah, the more people that are aware of things that they can do, and not spray the toxins and the poisons, and put water out for the bees. Yeah, we know we could all have an effect.
I mean, just watching the bees is a meditation in itself. Just watching them as they go from, dandelion to dandelion, clover to clover. You just sit there, and they're definitely up to something, and they're working really hard. And it's just wonderful to see just how closely they work with the plants, so that they both support each other.
But
Oh yeah.
we can support them all by wherever you live, go online and say, this is my location. What are the best plants to help to feed the pollinators? And to put those in your yard, the hell with these yards with grass in it. Put things that are going to nurture nature. And you will be astounded as to how much activity you actually get. I was telling Sandy, my next door neighbor, and I live in an acre of land. We both do. So it's a large area of kind of, nature. And I said to her, I'm feeling really bad because I'm not seeing many bees. I said, but the coral plant that normally feeds so many of them is not blooming right. I think it's getting too much water. But I was lamenting that, and she says, oh no, your bees are over at my house. And because she plants things mainly that she's thinking butterfly. But of course they're attracted to the same things. And I said, oh, so my bees are over at your house now. And she says, yeah, I think so. I said, well, get ready. I'm starting to plant things again. And they'll be back. I know they'll come back to me. It's kind of fun. But it's a magical place when you're seeing butterflies and bees just naturally doing their thing. And you don't, you go meditative, you don't have to do anything. It just is like, oh, that's so wonderful, And the more you study them, the more you learn. And I try to tell parents, I mean, if you're not going to do this for the bees, do it for your children. Bring this environment into your child's life so that they can experience nature. Because otherwise, where are they going to see it?
Yeah, they've already shown that the frequency coming off of bees, you can put it that way, is a healing frequency. So why would you not want tens of thousands of these little, healers generating that frequency in your environment, in and around your property, your house, your garden? And if you like that green look to our front yards, clover, people can plant clovers, and that's a great bee food.
Dandelions.
Dandelions too, they'll just grow in there, just don't pick them. But if you want the green everywhere, then clovers is a good idea. So that's just, there's lots of options though.
Yep, and it's just easy, and it's good things.
Yeah, and I put a lot of this in the expanded chapters of the Natural Beekeeper's Path, which is the naturalbeekeeperspath.com website, the nonprofit. Well, that whole book is in web page version or form up there, and I keep adding to it. So that particular chapter that talks, I don't even know what the title of the chapter is anymore. It'll be obvious when you look at the chapters though. It does expand into some of that and gives you some options. So yeah, there's a lot of things we can do. But again, a main one is providing water so they don't have to go so far. And then shungite water. Throw some shungite nuggets in your bird bath. You'll see, and put a lot of them because they don't want the bees to drown either. So anybody who has a bird bath realize that even if you never thought about the bees before and you're thinking birds, well, pollinators other than birds go there as well. Butterflies, bees, all sorts of stuff. You don't want them to drown in there. So throw some, sometimes they'll put marbles in there or rocks, but shungite will work. Levi, was there other anything else you thought of that you wanted to bring up specifically on the podcast that maybe we haven't touched on yet?
Like in human design, I'm a projector, and so I work better with more directed questions.
Totally understand. Yep.
But yeah, it's just it's a really good exercise just to notice the bees, just to be in a place where bees could be, and then you have to have some sort of, bring yourself to have an awareness just to notice them. And once you start to notice them, you'll realize just how many they are.
That's a good point because it's just like that, when we get a new car or truck or whatever the heck it is, all of a sudden you start seeing them everywhere. Yeah, and the same thing with bees. Take the time to notice, because then to notice the bees, any of us in our environment, we have to be in a certain space in our heads and awareness, not too distracted, not flinging our head around, or in the state I'm usually at most of the day, going 100 miles an hour just juggling stuff. You need to chill out, relax, and then in that space, funny, just made my ears ring. We'll reach our normal state of being, which is healed. So now that's a great idea. I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm literally just sitting down, And just watching the pollinators, bees, butterflies, whatever, doing their thing. Oh yeah, it will absolutely reset. Your telomeres won't keep shortening as quickly, meaning you won't shorten your lifespan as much. And actually, that ties in as on another podcast today. We can eat. There's a reason beekeepers' lifespans are typically longer than the average person. It's because they consume honey or bee products, in the form of honey usually. Well, and that lengthens our telomeres. And Nancy, I'm sure you remember because you remember everything, it seems like. We've done whole podcasts over this stuff in the years. So then when you're doing that or using honey for medicinal purposes or healing or as an antibiotic or probiotic or whatever, shungite honey, and then actually your stuff that you're kind of helping the bees, you're part of the chef, Levi, of course, holding that scalar space for the bees as you are. So that honey's going to be really unique at the end of the season. So I'm really interested in checking that out myself. And I was going to say, Nancy, did you have any questions you wanted to ask Levi right now?
Well, I'm interested in I love your attitude towards the science. Are you trained as a scientist, or is this something that you've got a day job, but this is what where your passion is?
Well, I've always been science minded, and I am an engineer, and so but I'm also not closed off to other ways of knowing because I see where the gaps are in science, and I can see how the current, philosophies of science would preclude discoveries in massive realms of knowledge. And so I'm really interested when people start saying stuff that sounds crazy, but I can tell they're not lying. And that means that there's got to be something more there.
Well, that's how we got on the road to Shungite, is that I have this ability to be able to essentially see at the quantum level. Now that sounds like bizarre, but it's like it's a movie screen that starts happening in front of me, but I'm immersed in it too, and I'm able to detect. Not just detect, but see the relationship of different energies in different forms. And I would tell Walt Silva, well, I'm seeing this effect. And he would figure out a way of testing for that effect. And why is it occurring? And that to me is real science. So I tell people, no, we were never trained in a university, but we are real scientists because that science need to understand, this our surroundings. Did you get that as a kid in school, or were you just born with that?
Oh, I was born weird.
And did you find science easy and math easy, and it just sort of you felt like you knew it?
Yeah, there was definitely, I'd always get in trouble in school because I would pass all the tests, but I was really bad at doing homework. And so they couldn't really figure out what was going on.
I was lucky because I was in a school where, I just look at the, especially like geometry and stuff, I just look at it and know the answer. And then they say, well, how'd you get it? Well, I just knew the answer. What am I supposed to tell you? I just knew the answer. And they really understood it. When I was doing calculus, it was like the teacher would essentially wake me up when he was changing the whatever he was, change the subject type of thing. And he'd wake me up and I'd look at the formulas and I just knew it. But I couldn't do 2 and 2 is 4. Simple mathematics and division I had trouble with. But the rest of it was like, I just kind of knew it. That's why I asked you the question.
Yeah, arithmetic is for robots. That's stuff robots are great at.
At
But
what? They're great at what?
they're great at arithmetic. And so
Yes.
that's the work the robot should be doing is arithmetic. But the
Good.
application of these models, that's up to the people to see how to use these tools, because that's all math is. It's a tool to solve problems. And they say that all models are wrong, but some models are useful, and it's up to the people to determine what their uses are.
So is an engineer, is that what you make your living at, doing engineering work?
Yeah, I'm currently at an aerotech company building power converters for airplanes. That's my
Ooh.
day job.
Well, that sounds like a hell of a day job. Amazing. Now, are you it a lot of times you look at cars and planes and they are really revolutionary from one version to another. Do you find that because you can go to another sort of scientific based work and jobs, and they don't have that creativity with them. It's like this is the way you do it, and this is the way you do it. They don't think outside the box. Do you think the nature of the job you're doing is helping promote that, or do you think you make the job better because you just happen to be that, and the people around you are the other kind? No, it's supposed to be done this way. Do you have any kind of, feeling for how many people can really, see outside the box?
Well, it's always really difficult because even for engineers, I'm way on the creative side, and so it's not everybody is ready for as much change as I want to inflict on them, and so I kind of have to dribble it out in drips and drabs, or else it makes too many waves and people get upset. But there's definitely just a large amount of like it works, so don't fix it. And it's like, well, it doesn't really work as well as you think it does, and this could be better. And it's like I find that like electromagnetic susceptibility and interference just isn't really taught in school, and so a lot of designs don't take in any of that into account. And so I have to go through and try to figure out, okay, we want to make this as radiate as least amount as possible because this is hurting people. And so if we move these inputs from this side to this side, then you have better magnetic coupling over here, and it's not going to affect people as they walk over onto their airplane as much as it does before. And so I want to make those changes, but they don't believe those changes are worth making because they don't understand the damage that's currently being done to them.
I think that's true everywhere. They don't understand it. Some people tell you it's a conspiracy thing they're trying to do it, yeah, I agree that could be happening, but more importantly, it's just that they don't see it as being real. And yet people that get into metaphysics and energy healing know it's very real. It's an interesting place to be in science. Because I do believe it's changing drastically. I think you're an example of it,
Well, thank
and
you.
you're smart enough to realize that these people cannot, you can't just lay it on them because their mind freezes and they go, nope, this is the way you do it. And you have to kind of like show them, well, look at this over here, isn't this interesting? And a lot of times they'll say no. But there'll be one or two of them that goes, yeah, that is kind of interesting. They haven't been challenged in their own view of reality. It's, and you, but you know, you've been blessed to be able to see reality as not just what it seems to be, but what it could be, and what it may be, and what it is. So I honor you. Especially that you're right there in the middle of that type of scientific dogma, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah, it's definitely a dogma, and it would really help if they'd realize that's what it is, because it's really interesting when you feel a massage from an energy worker that's 1,000 miles away, and you're like, that's not nothing. There's something here, and we can't explain it now, but it's definitely worth exploring.
Well, Let me just t tell you a story. When I wrote a book on Shungite, and a Russian asked if they could translate it. So there's a lot of people in Russia that know me because they've read the book or they've heard about, me and stuff like that. And that includes scientific, areas. I was asked to go to St. Petersburg and get with some scientist people. So we get this message from this guy, Yuri. It seems like all the Russians are called Yuri. And Yuri has got a reservoir that feeds his town, and it's poisoned. It's just terrible. And do we have any kind of a Shungite slash scalar slash Tesla? I mean, it's a whole bunch of different sciences that came together. Do we have a device that can clear it? So because I can do remote viewing and then see things, the chemistry of the water and stuff, I'm going like, whoa, this stuff is full of radiation. Where's the radiation coming from? And we went and looked at all of the nuclear power in Ukraine area that was in the vicinity. It's for ground leakage. I felt like it was coming from underground. And the reservoir and the water system was actually higher than all the nuclear plants in the area. So I went back to Yuri and I said, do you know of any other source of radiation that we're not being, we can't find? And he came back and he said, well, yeah, not far from there, within 200 miles, they did underground testing of nuclear bombs. So I said, okay, all right, got it. All right, now I know what we got to do. So we set the device to go again to really clean that reservoir. And we send it over to Yuri. And they have so much poisoning in their own area because they're not just the water, but where they're living is being, affected by this underground pollution, radiation. And they all have Geiger counters in their houses. So he takes the device when he gets it, and he's got it, in the same room with the Geiger counter. And he comes back, and the Geiger counter is at zero. And it's never at zero. And so he takes it to his neighbor's house. Same thing happens. And the next neighbor, and the next neighbor. And I find out about this. I said, Yuri, just put it in the water. It will affect the entire area. It will clear the entire pollution. And I never did hear exactly. I mean, psychics, including myself, could see that it was clearing, but we never did get a report back to Yuri, and nor did I know at that time who Yuri was. So flash forward to the Russian attack on the Ukraine, and they went to Chernobyl, and they dug holes to bivouac in er the area, make their foxholes and stuff. And they didn't realize that that's where they had essentially bulldozed all the radioactive material from the meltdown in Chernobyl. So within 5 days, they had Russian soldiers dying, and they pull out of there. But the reason that this thing was doing that was because they had dug into it and they had sort of started cooking again. And so now this is a runaway situation. The Ukrainians now are going like, holy crap, what'd the Russians do to us? And so Yuri contacts me again. And now I find out that Yuri is the scientific advisor for Zelensky. And, the atomic knowledgeable people don't know what to do. Is there anything we can do? So we sent him another device. And I said to Walt, I said, Walt, this is going to work. I said, but we're never going to hear about it because as soon as it's in the hands of the Russians and they realize what a powerful tool it is, I said, they're not going to come back to us. They're going to try to, back engineer it and see what it is. I said, so don't think you're ever going to get a pat on the back for this. But it stopped. Let me put it to you that way. It was stopped. And so there's so many big things that we can do if we just follow the science, not the science they told us, the science we're seeing and observing. The same thing happened with the Black Sea. There was an algae bloom that killed the subsidiary lakes, and another group of Ukrainians co contacted us and said, can you help with this? And so we did that too, and we were able to save the not only the Black Sea, but the rest of that particular water system cleared. And we did get reports back on that, because those people, their main consideration was that the crabs were all dying because the oxygen was being taken out of the water by the algae. And the last report I got from them was, the crabs are back, the crabs are back, and the water is translucent. So I don't know what, because it goes from Russian to English. And sometimes you go, did they really mean translucent? But I think they did, because I saw a picture and it did look translucent to me. So, yeah, there's so many things that we can do that are so positive. I mean, you can run water in your car. You don't need gas. You can put a Tesla coil in the ground and not have to go to the power company for electricity. All these magical gifts that are there to be had. So, do your thing, Levi. Help bring in this new world a little bit at a time.
Yep, I'm on it.
It's the only thing we can do. Is there anything science-wise that you saw that you really thought, wow, people should know about this?
I read a book called The Fourth Phase of Water that was very interesting, and it talks about how, what we think of surface tension, isn't H2O. It's actually a liquid crystal that develops, and
A what crystal? What was that again?
a liquid crystal.
Liquid crystal. Oh, well, yeah, okay.
And that liquid crystal could be why water is such a good transmitter of energies. And they've done experiments where you can use your intention to change the thickness of that liquid crystal layer. And I thought that was a really fascinating study that they did that had that pioneering science, which I think is going to be a very important attitude to have in the future of not necessarily, we're going to research and see what everybody has said about this one topic over and over and over again ad nauseum. This is, we need to find new frontiers to be exploring. And that is a different way of science than is currently taught.
Well, one of the things that happened with Derek is that one day he sends me this picture, and it was a tray of ice and spiking out of the ice. I mean, I'm talking up to 2 inches, maybe more, were these spikes coming out of the ice cubes. And I said, how the hell did that happen? He says, I don't know. But we went back over, what were you doing? Were you the one that made the ice? Did you put it in there and everything? And he could recall that he was in a kind of like an intense state of emotion when he did this. But it was like, other than that, I couldn't give you any other explanation except that the energy that he was putting in the ice, it was absorbing and then reflecting as these spikes. Not on every one of them, but I would say that there was, well, what's there, 12 ice cubes, there was at least 8 of them that had these spikes on them. Some of them small and some of them big, but there was at least 4 of them that had really big ones.
Like stalagmites.
Stalagmites, yes.
Yeah,
Right, thank you.
I forgot about that. I think I even sent you a photo.
I've got the photo someplace. I'll try to find it.
Yeah, I delete all that stuff. Yeah, I
I
forgot
know
about
you do. Bad. Never delete.
Yeah. You know how heavy my phone would get if I saved all those photos? Oh my
No,
gosh.
I just save them into a computer, put it on a drive. That's why I've
I have an
got
old pink.
50 drives. Because it's like this, it's all of a sudden this comes up on, oh yeah, we did that. And that's what happened. I mean, it's like I've written books on it and I forget, oh yeah, we did that. It's a funny
Hey,
world.
Nancy, wanted to add stuff on the past few comments here. So As far as Shungite is concerned, people say, oh, you do the flashlight test or the cell phone test, but coal can do the same thing. So you want to freeze the Shungite and it'll show geometry, especially with the kind that Derek sells in his store. Pictures are at the Facebook Shungite Reality Group if they want to see. I validated this numerous times. Another thing is there is a fifth phase of water, which I've mentioned in your various shows. By Rob Gorley, lives in Florida. It's in a form of drinking water called Wata, and he has a bunch of interviews on his on YouTube, and extraordinary stories as far as like people doing skydiving, and they can get up to the next 2,000 feet simply with just the water because it's an oxygenation form of water. And same thing with breaking things in, doing higher climbings in mountains. And when it comes to supplementation, it increases the uptake 7 to 10 times. So I experimented this on myself with fasting. And so I was able to lose, well, first I took a amino acid, what they call it, essential amino acid mix called Fortigen, along with fasting and the Wata. And I mixed it, the amino acid drink, and I was able to lose, say, around 10 pounds within 3 days, no side effects. Of course, because it's fasting, it doesn't last forever. So the body has to eventually stop doing that before you could come around to doing that again. And I was wondering if our guests can share about that experience of what do you call it? The what was it, seventh generation back healing? And it went all the way back to double that, like how that goes about and how that doubled in terms of his own experimentation, and if he has any social media or blogs or research he posts online. Thank you.
I'm still a very private individual at this moment, but that might change in the near future. But as far as the healing, this is just with a number of healers that I've worked with. Where once I first was aware of energy healing, and I realized, hey, there's something here. There's something needs to be explored. I joined a whole bunch of groups and just kind of tried to, like, I was kind of stricken of, like, well, I'm really ignorant in this area. So I need to get kind of a broad knowledge of firsthand experience. And so, I just kind of used my discernment to figure out, which groups would I personally align with. And I tried to, get in there and then just remain open to understand, because all of the different modalities tend to be talking about the same thing, just from a different perspective. And so you start to draw, parallels of, oh, these are all just blind people describing an elephant. And so now it is an elephant. Well, let's see if we can make it do tricks. And so that's when the experimentation comes in of, well, what happens if we do this while we meditate? What happens if we think about colors? What frequency does this color bring in to the meditation, and how does that make you feel? What does this frequency mean to you? I mean, because it's kind of a problem that you have trying to explain this stuff, because there's not a good vocabulary for it, and everybody calls it a little bit different. And so, yeah, it's just a lot of experimentation and just being open to the feedback of, hey, there's something more here, and I think I'd like to explore it more. And you just kind of go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Anything else, Mark?
I guess with the experimentation part, there could come a time where you can have different kinds of honey for like putting basically the frequencies in the honey. Now, you could technically do that already. I have this frequency machine that the Genius Biofeedback app, and then you attach it to a plate, and then you could put the jar of honey or whatever, like a bracelet on top of the plate, and then put the frequencies up there. So I'm able to do that. The problem is the limitation is the frequencies remaining in the object is only, I think, up to 6 months. And so I was able to do that with waltz Shungite resonators, to where I have these supplementations I use, and I put them in the resonator, which covers hundreds of miles, the Shungite resonator. So then anybody who's outside could technically receive them. And like what you guys were talking about, and also in my own findings, is the body has its own intelligence, even the energy body, where there's a biophysics laws to it, where it'll only accept of what's useful, and then it'll discard the rest. So that is an option, but I can definitely see different kinds of honey for different kinds of healing, that could be created and shared and all that stuff, right?
Oh yeah, then customized and aligned, of course, for each individual. So not just for the add-on supplement or focus of it, but for that person's actual biofield or energy signature. So yeah, there's lots of levels you can do with that. I don't know if Nancy and Mark, did you guys have anything else you wanted to bring up with Levi or chat with him about, and we can also talk about maybe doing a future episode with all of us at the end of the season. So we don't have to wait till then, but definitely one then, which would be August timeframe, when we go to the bees start to settle down for the fall and winter months. So hopefully we can have you back on then too.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
like that.
I would like him to know that anytime, Levi, that you have something you'd like to share, maybe just to get some feedback on anything you're thinking about, because we don't have a huge audience, but we've got a very sophisticated audience, and they themselves build energy devices. And I have seen where things that we have said we've done, they've improved on. And it really is comes down to information sharing. And that's the problem we're in, that scientists are told they can only talk about this, this, and this. And other people are talking about a lot of other things, but we're not coming together and actually sharing the information, as crazy as it might seem to the other people. So anytime you get some idea in your head and you just want to throw it out there for people to hear and maybe for us to comment on, please feel free to contact us. That'd be fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Mark, anything else?
I guess if Derek can share the Beehive Project and his GoFundMe, any other kind of updates.
Yeah, I mean, what I've really been focusing on here, and it can all be linked from the naturalbeekeeperspath.com or .org, take it to the same spot, is that and expanding. And actually, what we just added as far as the nonprofit for those that wanted to donate toward that. And what we're doing is we're building that, again, national list of emergency first responder beekeepers. And I've already developed the national plan that can be accessed by anybody for free right now and just followed and used for the next accident. But also down there, we need donations so we can get together these emergency kits that we're going to pepper along the routes where these transportation routes for these migratory beehives, where they're moved along from. Example, this truck that I was working with on that accident was going from Washington State to South Dakota. But they come from California to here, there, and wherever. So there's a lot of routes. And along those routes at the various sheriff's departments or police departments or in between, we'd like to get these kits together where it has not just information and contact lists, but beekeeper suits, maybe a smoker tool, other things and EpiPens. I mean, stuff that the first responders that aren't beekeepers can actually utilize. So those are what we're trying to get funds to do. So I've expanded the donation section on that page. And any donations on Mystical Wares now go to the nonprofit. And I've included to where any donations of $50 or more, you get a free a bee watering station. So a little tool you can fill a mason jar full of water, put it on this device, and put it out in your yard, and it'll give the bees water. So again, like we've talked about, so you don't have to go, or they don't have to go so far to get their water. And you can always play Shungite Nuggets around the same little bee watering, little watering station, I think I'm calling it. So that's something we're doing too. So to hopefully, encourage some donations. But it is important to get these first responder kits across the nation so we can save more bees next time. I guess, Levi, thank you. I guess we'll wrap it up for now, but I appreciate you being on. And don't be surprised if I start bugging you an email saying, hey, buddy, can you come back on? And far before August, because we're going to chat about this, that, or the other. And you sound like just like a plethora of information. So no, I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thanks. I know stuff about things, so.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, we can all spin different recipes together. Mark, Nancy, did you guys have any last minute comments you wanted to ask or say to Levi?
Just thank you, Levi. It's
Yeah,
nice to
thank
meet
you.
you, and I hope that this is not the last time because I think we got a lot to share.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Appreciate you. Mark, anything?
Oh yeah, Derek. There was a Substack video interview you were on recently, and it went, I guess, partially viral. There's this electrical sensitivity group on Facebook that they're very skeptical on things like shungite and biogeometry, things like that. And they're starting to finally open up because, oh, it does this for bees. Like, yeah, you've been doing this since 2016. I mean, where have these people been? But yeah, after the 1 hour interview and then the detail and then your links, it's like, and with the incident that happened, maybe you could tell us what that interview was, the past couple you've been in, and anything coming up as far as that goes.
Yeah, actually, I did another one. Actually, I did two of them today. This is my third podcast today. So this one we're on, but I was on, oh my gosh, now I've got to remember all this on the top of my head right now. So, Metaphysical Meltdown with Mary Beckman. We talked bees and shungite, of course, on that one. But then I was also, and I'm opening up all the links in my email right now so I can give you the names of these. But I was on one yesterday, and it was called The Power Couple Podcast. And I don't know if that one's been released yet. I'll have to look for it. But The Power Couple, I'm sure it'll be all over the place. And I was interviewed by Roman there, but then Roman referred me to another podcaster today that was called, so his name was Logan, but he was on, he has Sowing as in Sowing, Sowing Prosperity. And I was on that podcast today. I'm sure it'll come out soon. He's got, I don't know, 100,000 something followers on YouTube or more. He was kind of joking with me because he got his last podcast booted off YouTube. Because I guess he's friends with Mel Gibson, and Mel started rambling about this, that, and the other. So he's dealing with some of the same stuff you are, Nancy, about having limitations on publishing various topics on YouTube. So he's gone to Rumble as well. So when I'm bringing all this up, because who knows where my interview is going to be on YouTube or Rumble? We didn't get anything too crazy, but it was probably an hour long today that we did. And again, that was Sowing Prosperity, Sowing. Really interesting guy. Lots of cool topics. We'll probably do future stuff. But yeah, and other stuff I got coming up is going to be local. I don't know about any other podcasts right now off the top of my head. I got lined up, but something coming up here locally, in Washington State, where I'm going to be talking about mason bees. I think we've mentioned it before anyway, where I'm going to talk about, local pollinators and carpenter bees. So but yeah, so that's kind of my update. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in, and special thanks to Levi for showing up. And yeah, we look forward to the next one with you.
Yeah, and your podcast you do post them in Mystical Wares Facebook group, Shungite Reality Facebook group. Oh, and I guess just last question for the three of you guys. If somebody wanted to start out on Spooky 2 and add their own frequency supplements, what's the I know you can just type in Spooky 2 on any keyword search, but as far as getting the tools for doing that kind of thing, where would they start in with Spooky 2? You were mentioning a few certain things, right? Specifics.
Now you can jump in if you want, Levi, but I mean, as far as, I mean, really, you just need the Spooky 2 setup to do it, and nothing else. Even the frequency generator you don't need unless you want to just start lining up lots of frequencies or ingredients in your end recipe that will, manifest within the scalar field. because again, you can put it in that input section there. So that's really all you need. And then just the as Levi brought a couple times, your intention. I mean, that's the biggest part of it. Yeah. So the scalar field is the container. That will kind of, I'm loosely putting it that way. That's and holding things such that they can be affected with intention. I know that was kind of out there, but that's one way to look at it. So really just that. But even again, back to Levi once again, even as he mentioned too, and we all know, well, even these remote energy healings, regardless if you're just trying to fling energy through a monitor, and I'm making fun of it, or a focused modality, it all works. I mean, it's all a thing. We just come at it from different angles. So, you can do stuff like that without the scalar. So what I'm also saying is I'm encouraging people to, you don't have to go, but I don't even know what this costs. I'm sure they're still expensive. But the scalar machines, I mean, they're kind of pricey. And so use your make an orgone device, something like that. Start there for listeners. But you asked specifically about spooky too. So yeah, the device is all you'd really need.
Yeah, and I've been in enough modalities where, like matrix energetics, they say you can communicate with the, let's say, the plant or the frequency, and reach out and touch it with just your thoughts, bring it in and send it out. It's because it's just information, so it is truly just intention, so that is an option for people. And you do have, Derek, your weekly scalar at mysticalwares.com. Every Friday, people can sign up for free, and as many names to put in as you want. And that's it for me. Thanks, everybody.
No, appreciate it. Do you want to kind of close up there, Nancy?
We shall do that. I thank you again, Levi, and hopefully we'll see you soon, and have a blessed time with your life. Stay safe. And everybody out there in listening land, thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.
You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for being here. Be safe.